baby.
It's a Thursday night again. Like, don't you just feel young when it's Thursday and we're recording? Like, tomorrow's Friday. I don't know.
Days mean nothing to me anymore.
Yeah, that's also true. They've all melted together.
I know. Usually by Thursday, I'll be like, oh, tomorrow's Friday. Who the fuck did I not respond to that I was supposed to respond to on email?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's always one.
Yeah. I also prefer to get back to people when I have the thing that I was going to get back with or like materials. You know,
Oh my God, you know what I hate? I owe you an email.
Mm.
And the time that it took you to write that in an email, you could have just sent me what you needed to send
me.
God.
So like sometimes I won't get back to people right away, but then I will get back and I'll be like, bam, I got the thing done. Mm-hmm. I did it all. Here it is.
Yep.
I just don't send emails every day being like, okay, got it.
Yeah.
Coming right up. Watch this space.
Wait, you were giving me one word answers like all Monday via text and I was so stressed out about it.
Okay, okay. If I give you one word answers, it's because I'm like with someone or like doing something.
Oh, no. I felt like I didn't feel any type of way about it because I knew you weren't mad at me or whatever. Yeah. Like, why would that happen? But I was, it almost got comical because it was in the text and the DM for like 7 hours. And I was like, I can't put any thought into this because I'm already going down a rabbit hole. Like, we're never speaking again. The podcast is canceled and so is our friendship.
But if I ever give one word answers, it's always because I'm like doing something. And then, or if I like don't respond to you for hours, it's because I'm like doing something.
Oh, that never bothers me.
I'm with someone.
Yeah. Well,
usually that.
Like, you can still see people. You just can't see, like, people.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right, right. People, not capital people.
Yeah. Not all of them.
Not all of them. Just a couple. I impulse purchased a 50-piece pack of black surgical masks and pink surgical masks.
Hell yeah. From where?
Amazon. Yeah. I like panicked. Everyone was like, we need to be double masking.
I know.
And then I was just like, all right.
I wasn't
here. I go
on my way here and I'm like a fucking moron.
If you want, they come wrapped by the tens.
Okay.
So if you want a pack of pink masks, I thought about that. I was
is
like,
that
this is
like
so tiny.
Even could you have sent me that link?
Yeah.
That's fucking awesome.
And it's funny. The funniest thing is reading reviews for face masks on Amazon. Usually if there's like over 1,000 reviews, I'll be like, okay, is it overwhelming you 5 stars? Then it's probably legit. And it's someone who's like, I work in an emergency room. And sometimes I'm like, okay, great. If you do it, if you trust it, I'm cool with it. And then there's other people that's like, I did the candle test and it stands up. And I'm like, what is this?
What's the candle test?
I don't know.
God.
I didn't really feel fussed to look into it, but there's like tests to see how well they filter particles.
Mm.
But I'm like, if enough people were like, it passed the test because I'm a crazy paranoid, I'm like, okay, great.
My thing about reviews is you never leave a review unless something went wrong. You know what I mean?
So yes.
I don't know.
There was an actually funny recent episode of The Simpsons about podcasts.
Yes.
And the guy who plays the courtroom judge, like since forever, he was like, I'll leave a 5-star review, but I won't leave a comment because who has time for that? And I was like, yeah, actually, I always think that when leaving reviews, and then they make you fill out a comment and I'm like, I don't have time for this.
Right.
I gave you 5 stars. What do you want?
Right.
So
speaking of,
I feel y'all.
You should leave us 5 stars in a comment, please. Yeah. Or a view, rather.
But I feel your pain. We're all busy, you know?
Exactly.
I'll take the stars.
I don't take it personally.
I'll take the stars.
Yeah.
And I'll trust your judgment.
That's true.
Yeah. Relevant to my life as a podcaster. Anyway, I feel like this is the first time I've seen you since last November.
Oh my God, was it November?
I think it was. Or was it early December?
I think it was early December.
Early December.
Yeah.
Like it still feels like a lifetime. It's been a whole, we have a whole new regime.
We've recorded, but we have done it remotely.
Yeah, as you could tell by the shittier sound quality.
Do you like my microphone?
Your microphone sounds crystal clear.
Do you
and
think
I'm so mad because I have this like legit audio engineer approved setup.
Yeah.
And my mic still sounds like shit over Zoom.
I completely disagree. I think mine sounds really tinny. Like
really?
I think I sound like I'm speaking into a tin can.
I don't think so.
On my remote mic. But we only did 2 remote episodes, right?
Yeah.
It sounds fine. I can tell the difference. This one is like warmer.
Okay. Yeah, I guess that's true. I think I was just annoyed that I'm like, oh, I sound like I'm on the phone.
Oh, I don't think you sound like that at all.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
You sound great. It is good to be back.
It is good to be back. What do you smell like today, Tynan?
I am wearing the new Valentino Born in Roma Yellow Dream for Men. And this just like just came out. It just showed up at my place today. And Valentino scents to me are a little hit or miss. I love the one that they put out in the fall with Lady Gaga as the face. The original Born in Roma, I've only smelled the one for women because I usually just call in women's scent. And it was nice. It just wasn't nice for me. I called this in because, and I called the men's in specifically because it sounded really exciting because it has like weirdly all of my favorite things in it. Mm-hmm. Top notes are pineapple, which I love. I know. And mandarin. Middle notes are a gingerbread accord.
Whoa.
And spices. And then the base is vanilla absolute and cedar. Like, hello. Doesn't that sound good?
Yeah, that sounds delicious.
And I was like, send that to me, please. So they did. And I like it a lot. I truly did not know what to expect because it's like, you so rarely see pineapple in scents.
Yeah.
And the gingerbread accord also, I'm like, that's cute. And it's really, really nice. It's like round and warm and sort of ambery and juicy, not super, like not citrusy in a juicy way. I think the pineapple sweetens it without really calling back to an actual pineapple, which is fine. The gingerbread accord, I think there's also a ginger note specifically, and then a gingerbread accord. That's really nice. It's just a nice play on like sweetness and spice and everything, and then the vanilla and wood at the bottom. It's awesome. I'm gonna wear it a couple more times. I don't know that I was exactly what I was expecting, but that also doesn't shock me because like, what would that be? But I like it a lot.
It's Valentino.
It's Valentino. Yeah. Oh. They describe it as, forgive me, an oriental spicy. Yeah. And also like we know how we feel about.
Yeah.
But it's pretty. It's, I also feel like it's another version of something that I've smelled before, but not in a bad way. Anyways, I just think it's weird and cool and I like it a lot. Mm. I have not smelled the women's, the women's version was not nearly as like unique in the build of the scent. So I let them keep that one. But the men's is great.
Who's the spokesmodel for?
I don't believe that they have a face. They just have these visuals that are very like storytelling. Like literally
a slice of pineapple, a slice of gingerbread. Got it.
Yeah.
Got it.
Whatever.
Oh, okay.
This like pineapple wearing a wig is. I don't know. It's great. I'm certainly not disappointed by it. But Sable, what do you smell like today?
Wait, do you think that when it's mostly designer brands that do this, they make a men's and a women's version of the fragrance? I wonder if they like basically have like a similar brief and then they tweak it to be like one's for men and one's for women, or if they're just completely different briefs.
Also, like to your point, the big houses that always do a men's and a women's scent. Number one, I feel like we are all going to start realizing pretty soon that that is fast becoming just like a dated concept. And I don't say that to be like super woke or anything, but I think the conversation is getting there. Like, why are we gendering our scents? It's a scent. And also, doesn't that seem like double the work, double the investment on the brand side, double the development?
Yeah, the design? I think like I also noticed that a lot of designer houses that do fragrance, they have their kind of mainstream, what you would find in department store scents. And then they also have these like elite scents. Mm. And those ones are usually genderless or gender neutral.
You're right.
And those are like the super expensive ones.
Yeah.
So there's like this like tiered level.
Yeah.
And I imagine that the for men and for women ones, because they're priced, you know, probably like around $100. Mm-hmm. That's just the bread and butter.
Yeah. I mean, even as I say that, I suppose that like they do it because that's what sells.
Yeah.
And I mean, even when I talk about skincare online, people are like, well, is it for men? Like, is it for women? Like, what are you talking about?
Do you have skin?
So if it comes to a fragrance, something that has been so, you know, heavily gendered, I suppose I see the reasoning from a brand standpoint, because it's their job to make money. But
I also think people still purchase things based on what's told is for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Largely in like the mainstream, and mainstream is where the money is.
Yeah.
So
Sable, what do you smell like today?
Well, speaking of genderless iconic scents, I've been wearing for days because I just won't go away. Terry Mugler Angel, Which is a classic scent. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not new. It's been around since the very early 90s. I never really dove into Mugler scents. Am I saying that wrong?
No.
Mugler. Anyway. Yeah, I never really dove into their scents. I think their bottles are the coolest bottles, yeah, like, in the fragrance world, truly. And the star bottle that is Angel is, like, so cool looking, and it fits in your palm perfectly to spray it. And they're also refillable, which is kind of neat.
I did not know that.
Yeah. It's like, they're like, we're sustainable. I'm like, okay. But that's nice.
Yeah.
And Angel is an oriental vanilla fragrance. And I think back in the early 90s, it was like the first of its kind, because the 90s was all about like fresh, clean, and like airy scents. And Angel was just like, I'm heavy and I'm really, really powdery and, yeah, vanilla and oriental, apparently. Ah, Angel was created by Olivier Crisp, the dude who did Act.
No shit.
Yeah, that guy.
That's crazy.
Yeah, we got to get him on here.
Yes.
All of Olivier Crisp and Yves Deschalines. Hope I'm saying your name right, Yves. This notes list is like a bellyache. Cotton candy, coconut, cassis, jasmine, melon, bergamot, mandarin orange, pineapple. Oh, another pineapple. Honey, red berries, blackberry, plum, jasmine, apricot, peach, orchid, nutmeg, rose, caraway, and lily of the valley. And then there's patchouli, chocolate, caramel, vanilla, tonka bean, amber, musk, and sandalwood. And I feel like I just threw up in my mouth.
Yeah, why am I not wearing that?
Yeah. It's... I got it the other day. Was it yesterday? What is time? I got it the other day. The peeps at Mugler, they're doing a new campaign, and they made me a star. They like registered a star in my name because the campaign is like Angel Star. I don't think Angel Star is like a flanker. I think it's just a campaign, but like, because the bottle's shaped like a star. Mm-hmm. Although Angel does have several flankers.
Yeah.
But this is, I sprayed it once in the air. In my apartment, that's kind of how I smell a lot of things first. I'll like spray it in the air and kind of waft it. And I was like, whoa, that's really strong. And then I was like walking around my apartment, went out to do some errands and came back. And like 6 hours later, my apartment still smelled like it. And I was like, this is very powerful.
You were flustered.
Yeah. I was mostly just like, what is the power of the scent? How is it doing it?
So Sable is very even tempered and very chill, where I am just like a big ball of anxious energy at all times. But it's really hard to get any sort of big reaction out of Sable.
That's true.
And she started texting me, which were more than one word texts. And she was like, I just sprayed Angel in my office and it won't go away. No. And then like 2 hours later, she was like, no, it's still there. And then like a full 6 hours later, she's like, I don't know what I'm moving out. And I was like, okay, she's in a bad way right now.
I was just like, I've never experienced that with a fragrance before. And
in the air too. It's not, yes, even like on your body. You can't get, exactly, it off. Like, that's gnarly.
I was like afraid to spray it on my skin, but then I eventually did. And then once I sprayed it on my skin and then it was able to liven up, you know, mm-hmm, with your skin chemistry, I was like, oh, this is really nice. It's so warm and sticky and sweet. It kind of, it reminds me, honestly, my first experience with Mugler Angel was I would hang out with my cousins who were around the same age as me. And I don't know if their house was fancier than ours, but it was just a lot tidier and neater. Okay. And like my dad is an auto mechanic and their dad, my uncle, is like a businessman. So he has businessman things. And he had a bottle of Angel on their dresser. And me being a snoopy little kid, I was so snoopy. I would like touch everything and play with everything. And I remember smelling it then and being like, oh my God, this is so strong. And then I would smell it on my uncle, who I always thought didn't like me because he was just very stern. So I was like, this smells like my uncle who doesn't like me.
That's so funny.
Yeah. And then like it just brought me back to that. But then when it dries down on the wear, it has this luxurious... It kind of smells like expensive leather car seats, but like that are lived in by a very glamorous woman who probably owns many fur coats or just like goes to Studio 54 a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. It smells like a super, super fancy lady or man. Yeah. Person. Is it? Super, super fancy person.
Is it unisex?
I believe it is. Yeah.
Really?
I think it was like original. And I think that's so also cool. Why it was so one of a kind at the time was because it was unisex.
Huh. Well, they will be sending me this.
Yeah. I want them to send me all the flankers.
Good news. Mugler is now handled by a different PR agency, so I am no longer kicked off the press list.
Wait, why were you kicked off the press list?
Do you want to know the story?
I do.
Okay, so... No, never mind. I'm not going to... They did a launch and a campaign that was around Pride.
Yes, I remember this. It was like LGBTQ and everything was like rainbow colored bottles.
They were rainbow bottles.
Yeah.
But like it was just rainbow. There was like, yeah, from what I remember, like 2.5 years ago, there was like really no mention of like, yeah, queerness or
rainbow
or whatever. And like, I don't think there was a philanthropic aspect, whatever. It was just poorly done, whatever. And I just like put it on my Instagram story and I was like, I mean, I don't often shit talk brands just because, mm-hmm, like I don't think it's cool, you know, mm-hmm, I have no interest in that, but like, you know, don't try to fuck with the gays.
Yeah.
And then expect me to be like, look at these fragrances. And they sent me, I will say that like they sent, there were the, it was a collection of 5 fragrances and, mm-hmm, they sent them all to me, but one showed up shattered and I told, mm-hmm, them, and then they resent it and then I tracked them. But I don't think that I realized, like, I wouldn't have called the 5th one in again, mm, only to talk shit about it like that. Right. I don't get off on that. That's fine. But I was like, this is in poor taste. Mm. This is like, you're talking to your consumer like you're stupid, whatever. And I got an email from this woman. She had the nerve to come into my Gmail and be like, I didn't appreciate blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, I don't think the LGBTQ community, yikes, appreciates you fucking pandering to me.
Yeah.
Us. Anyways.
Rainbow washing. Not cool.
It was, yeah, it was just rainbow, like, bad. Capitalism. It was just like bad. And like, that's also,
I can't believe they emailed you.
Oh, yeah. And that's also like not how you respond to criticism.
No, absolutely not. What are
you doing?
That's not how you do PR, dudes.
Yeah. So like the whole thing was like mishandled.
Maybe that's why Mugler has a new PR agency, yeah, now, because they're like, could you not berate the people that, right, were trying to
go? Right.
The press. Do not berate the press, please. Like,
come on.
Yeah.
Anyway, send me Angel.
Send me Angel. Send me Alien. Send me Aura.
Yes.
What's the other one? Muse. They also have like another tier of extra fancy fragrances.
Do they really?
Yeah, they do. I think they're called like Les Exceptions.
Hmm. Oh, wait. Yeah. The square bottles. I have a few of them.
The square bottles.
These are better.
Yeah, I know. I was like, why would you make these super cool sculptural bottles and then be like, now let's do squares?
The scents in the fun bottles are just better scents.
I think
the
so.
Higher end ones are, they're pretty. They're fine.
Mm.
I've had a couple and I like them all quite a bit, but these are like way, like, yeah, just way better.
When I was at Allure, I feel like Mugler would send some new flanker of any of their scents literally like once a week. Mm-hmm. It would just show up at my desk and I'd be like, oh, this is cool. And then, they all end up in a pile when you work at Allure.
Right.
And I just had this, like, strange kind of dalliance with Alien because I love the bottles so much. And I liked the scent, but I was like, is this me? Like, I like this scent, but I don't know if it's for me. So I'd come back to it every so now again. And it was like, I feel like it's like when you flirt with someone that you're like, we get along, right? Like, we like each other. This is chemistry, right? But then you're just like, no, I think we're just both hot. And we just both kind of think we're hot.
And that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is fine. But I'm still just like, ooh, Alien.
I think that means it's for you, though. If you return to it over and over again, it might not be the one. But like,
yeah,
you can, yeah, it might be for you.
Maybe. We'll see. We shall see.
We shall see.
Call me back, Mugler. Anyway, this episode is about something that is often discussed, mm-hmm, on the outskirts, but we never quite dove into because we weren't really sure, you know, how to talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in beauty in general.
That's where, like, adoption.
Yeah. in beauty culture, beauty industry, I should say, dupes, it's a big old thing.
Yeah.
Why? Because beauty products are expensive and, you know, we all can't be dropping $65 on a moisturizer, drunk elephant. But
so wait, let's start with what a dupe is in case those at home do not know.
Take it away.
Okay, I don't know. So like, dupe means duplicate, right? Yes. So duping something means like getting the same or a similar product to serve the same function at a lower price point, usually.
Yeah.
Most people dupe products to save money, which is a very worthwhile thing to do. In skincare and beauty, you can dupe a formula or you can dupe a shade, right? Mm. If I love a lip shade, but it's by Jeffree Star Cosmetics, who I don't fuck with, I will dupe it and Revlon will have, mm-hmm, the exact shade based off that shade at a lower price, right, point. I don't care about the price point. I just care about not supporting someone that is a racist. And then also, like you said, Drunk Elephant is a high-end skincare brand and someone might want the benefits of a Drunk Elephant formula, but they don't understandably want to pay $65, right, for a moisturizer. So they will buy one from Pixi that is a formula dupe. Now, when we talk about dupes, it's like I think, like I said, I think formula in shade, but in those things, it's like there's a lot of factors.
Right.
Like I can get the same shade and a lip color, but the formula is going to be different. So yep. like you're never going to get the exact product. You know what I mean? No, usually, I mean, then we can talk factories and
right. Yeah, whatever. Sourcing and all that is tricky too.
And like it, were it to be a skincare product, it's like it can look and feel the same. And sure, that's a texture dupe, but it's like, does it have the same actives? Right. Like, so there's a lot of ways to dupe something, and they might not ever get you to the same place, but duping, if you do it right, can be pretty successful.
Yeah.
I like to do it with color cosmetics. I don't really care about skincare.
I think if you're saving a lot of money mm-hmm. and it's like close enough mm-hmm. when it comes to like color, at mm-hmm. least, then like, sure, that's great. That's fine.
Even with like color, it's like shit gets discontinued all the time.
Right.
My favorite pink lip is discontinued, of course. Mm-hmm. So it's like I had to dupe that.
Yeah.
Or if your favorite foundation formula gets taken mm-hmm. off the market and replaced with something else, you want something that resembles what you loved.
Right.
So that's what duping is, if you didn't know.
Right. And in the fragrance world, duping, I feel like in the fragrance world, duping is a little bit more shameless because there are these cheapo drugstore brands that will say like, if you like Clinique Happy, you'll love Ecstatic.
Yeah.
And then it's like this aerosol can
right.
of this very poor knockoff of fragrance that does not smell like Clinique Happy, but almost smells like they copied Clinique Happy's homework and changed it a little bit, so it doesn't look like they copied it.
Right, right. Or it's like they saw the notes and then just like made a scent without ever smelling happy.
Yeah. So like it's never usually quite as complex or deep, but you know, it's like the same vibe.
Yeah. And this is like we say usually. I mean, it's funny to me. I think, you know, even if you're not super well-versed in fragrance, we all have been at a drugstore and mm-hmm. it's like, if you love Tommy Girl, you'll love Tammy Girl. You know, like they're pretty in your face.
Yeah.
But
they want you to know they're a dupe.
Exactly. Some dupes I've seen go really hard on design to look in the bottle and packaging as much like a scent that is recognizable. So, you know, your mind goes there before you're like, oh, that's not it, but it must be a lot like it because it looks like it and the name sounds just like it, but it's not. And then some, to your point, are just like, if you like this, you like that, which I don't know how they get sued by putting another brand name and product name on their packaging. Like, that's a lawsuit.
Maybe it's just a matter of time and they're just like,
I don't know.
They're just like trying to sell as many as they can before legal catches up with
right.
them. I have no idea. But
right.
Or maybe someone like Clinique is so big that they don't care.
Yeah.
Although I feel like they would care because they're
a lot. I mean, like people like Gucci care.
Yeah,
that's
true.
But people have been DMing us quite a bit with this question.
Yeah.
And like you said, we weren't exactly sure how to what kind of episode to do on it. Mm. So before we do anything, or maybe this is just what we're doing, we wanted to come together and talk to each other and you just about dupe culture and what we think of it and try to answer in doing so some of your questions about what we think of it and all of that.
Yeah.
So to start, we asked you guys a question on our Tuesday question or whatever about like, do you fuck with dupes? Like, do you guys like them? Do you not? Whatever. We had an inkling that you guys did because you keep asking us about it. And there were quite a bit of responses that were like, yeah, I mean, I love them, which is great for you. I will say that like the answer that we got most was so specific. They all want to dupe Tom Ford's Lost Cherry.
Oh, yeah. There was a lot of that.
Yeah. And so that, I think, goes right back to price point, which I completely understand. Lost Cherry is part of the private collection. It's very expensive for a 1 ounce.
What is it, like $350 for 1 ounce?
I think it's $350.
Damn.
Which is, I mean, like...
it's quite a bit.
That's crazy.
It's a lot of acorns.
Lost Cherry is great.
Yeah.
I wouldn't pay
too much
for it. Yeah. So a lot of you guys were referencing scents that you like to dupe, reasons why you like to dupe fragrances, where you go to do so. And I was a little surprised by what you guys had to say because it wasn't even, I mean, the consensus was, yes, we love dupes, like give them to us.
Mm-hmm.
There were, I mean, a good,
there was a, I feel like there's a fair amount of people who are like, no, absolutely not.
Right.
And they're the purists.
They are the purists. What are your thoughts about them? Say them.
I'm also a purist, but I also think that if you can derive like 75% pleasure from something that's similar to something you like but can't afford, then that's fine. But if you're the type of person who it's going to bug you because you're like, it's just not the real deal, mm-hmm. then just don't waste your money. Just save your acorns for the real thing then, you know?
That's, yeah. So this is how, I always think like, I'm conflicted because I'm all for, as I know you are, beauty should be accessible. Like, you shouldn't have to pay out the ass for something to be high quality. And you don't have to. We all mm-hmm. know this. So in that way, I'm like, sure, girls, dupe away. But I personally I'm not aligned to that lifestyle. Yeah. But it's also like, I don't know what my life would be if I hadn't been writing beauty for 10 years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I certainly wouldn't want to pay $350 for a lost cherry. I don't want to do that at this point. Mm-mm. So that I definitely understand.
I don't think I would buy dupes because I just never, I feel like anytime I've smelled a dupe of something that I liked, it was not really close at all.
Yeah.
And the wear, it's not even just the scent, it's the wear of it. It usually is like very fleeting.
Yeah.
And it leaves like after an hour.
Yeah. The wear's a good point. Yeah. I think my thing is where I was trying to get, but I like couldn't, is you want to dupe Tom Ford, fine. But then we see dupes of, like you said, like a Clinique Happy or, you know, a drugstore scent, which, you know, $60, $65 is also an investment for a fragrance. But it's like, if you are spending $22 on this dupe fragrance and what you're duping is $65, like, I'm not telling you how to spend your money, but maybe just save, like, don't dupe a $65 fragrance. I don't know. Like,
or just wait for a sale.
Wait
or
for like a sale. Deal. Get online, get girl. Or like save your money a little bit. Yeah. I feel like people dupe a lot of things that, I know affordable means different things to everyone, but it's like, that's not high end.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I also think it maybe like comes with like accessibility too, in terms of like region.
I used to think Clinique was like really fancy.
Sure.
When I was growing up, because it was in like a department store counter.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm just like, oh.
But if you live, you know, somewhere where, I mean, I grew up not close to a Nordstrom or a Barney's, and so I, even if I had the cash to blow, which I never did on a scent like that, where would I have bought it? Don't say online. That ruins my point. But, you know, if I am wherever dupes are sold in Walgreens or whatever, and I see a Marc Jacobs scent that is knocked off. And again, that's a department store price point. Not the most expensive thing you're going to find. That's going to be really attractive to me because like I want, especially when I was like, you know, a young 13-year-old gay boy, like I want that Marc Jacobs lifestyle. Yeah. You know, I want a piece of that.
Totally. You want a piece of the brand.
Absolutely. I don't care what it smells like. Yeah. So those are all like things that I try to take into account.
But then there's also the culture of fragrance. I don't know what you call them, but like if you go places sometimes in Midtown or in Chinatown, and there's like those like street vendors.
I have so many questions about these.
They don't sell them as, they sell them as the actual fragrance.
Yeah.
But it's like on a shady street corner, and you're like, okay, is this the real thing or is this a knockoff?
Yes.
So like there's knockoff culture too, which is a different thing than dupes, because a knockoff is literally trying to pass as the real thing, and a dupe at least acknowledges that it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And what I have done in the recent past, and I want to put my good faith in and say I think it was legit, but like, okay, so I was looking for a bunch of Lolita Olympica fragrances.
God.
And I wasn't finding them on almost any distributors in the US. Like, for some reason they only have their distribution in Europe. Uh-huh. And I was like, I'm not fucking paying for shipping from fucking France in euros to here. So I went on eBay just to see what was up.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was there. Like, every Lolita Olympica fragrance that I looked up was there, and they were sold by these fragrance eBay sellers
mm-hmm.
who like only sell fragrance, and they have testers.
Yeah.
And I don't mean like little vials. I mean the tester that looks just like the real perfume bottle, but the brand sends them to stores.
Yeah. Yeah.
To like sit on the counter so people can try it. But for some reason, they're just like designated as testers, even though it's identical to the actual product.
I think it's just an inventory thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So they were selling those department store testers. And I bought one. It was like, I think $39. I was like, okay, if it's shitty, I'm not out like a whole bunch of money. And I think on the website, it was like 70 euros. So I was like, okay, I'll try this out just to see. And I can't obviously compare it to the real one, but I was like, oh, this is nice.
It is the real one.
This smells nice.
It is the real one.
Yeah. Like, I could, because I was really skeptical. I was like, is this legit? Is this a knockoff? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, there is that whole question about like eBay and beauty and Amazon and beauty.
Yeah.
All of that. I would sooner buy a fragrance on eBay than Amazon, but that's just me. And that's not because I hate Amazon, because I also love convenience, but it just seems like.
The eBay game's been at it for longer with fragrances, I think.
Yeah, and I feel like it's more. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know why.
It's almost like they're wholesalers. And they just like have like overstock or something.
Yeah. And that's also.
Yeah. That was the vibe I got.
That's what I feel about like the street vendors. I'm like, is this just like dead stock? Like, what is this?
I don't know. Is it old? Is it expired? Like, I don't get it.
If it's in a box zone, there's not getting any like UV rays. It's not going to go.
That's true.
Bad. I mean, it's not never going to go bad. But like, if it's not being fucked with by the sun, then you're fine.
But I like truly wonder like how much perfume they sell on the street.
Like, I think all of. I think they're all selling quite a bit of everything.
Yeah. And like, what's the markdown like to make it more attractive than just buying it from a store? I don't know. But it is always designer perfumes. Mm-hmm.
Do you notice like all the fragrance stores that are on like Broadway and like Soho and everything?
Oh, yes.
Where they're not huge stores, right? Yeah. But they're just packed with fragrance. They
look like vape shops.
Yeah, completely.
Super bright fluorescent lighting.
It's like it's funny to see what their like their displays look like, because some are all celebrity fragrances and some are like Bond Number 9, which I also have questions about.
Yeah.
Some are just well-known department store fragrances, or some that were like 15 years ago, like Be Delicious.
Yeah.
I just love to see like what they think is going to sell. And they're probably right about selling.
I kind of just want to walk in and be like, so where do you get your perfumes from?
Yeah, how is this happening?
Yeah,
like, and who are you selling
to? Although part of me is like, I feel like they probably closed by now.
I feel like a bunch of the ones I usually pass are still open.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right. Good for them.
Good for them. We love commerce. Support small business.
It's a front, maybe.
It might be a front.
Could be.
But that's okay. What we have noticed and what sort of prompted this and your DMs is that right now there are a couple brands that are new that their whole thing is like, if you love Santal 33, but you don't want to pay, you know, all this money for it, buy this for $39.
Yeah.
And I keep getting served these ads on Rhymes Instagram, which I like understand why. Like, I mean, All I look at is fragrance. But,
it's very like Instagram branding.
It's that, but it's also that like paid ads, like earned media, like just someone like on their iPhone, like I like. Anyways, there's a brand called Alt.
Mm.
I don't know if we should like name them, but like,
sure,
come fight us. they're the ones that that all the bottles look the same. They have like the Demeter silhouette,
but they have colored
labels.
Got it.
And then. I don't think they name the brand, but like it's obvious what like fucking fabulous they knocked off as like effing fantastic or something, and it's like, I see what
they
you
just
did
neutered
there.
That
yeah exactly Oof. So there's that, and then there's Dossier, and I'm like, did you have to rhyme with Glossier? Did no one tell you?
Going for that SEO, baby.
Right. Dossier is a big one that is also doing that.
I get served their ads a lot as well.
Too. At least their like designs are a little bit more pleasing to the eye. Like, if you didn't tell me what they were, I would just think they were a fragrance brand. Don't buy these. These are in no way promotions. But then the one that people kept talking about was Oil Perfumery. This is the one, the Lost Cherry one that everyone loved. They love Lost Cherry from Oil Perfumery. Oh, and then the Alt one of Lost Cherry as well. I think that's Alt, maybe not. No, Alexandria Fragrances is another one. We're just promoting all these.
Is Scentbird a dupe one?
No, Scentbird's not dupe.
Okay.
I think they're a monthly trial thing with a little sampler.
Got it.
Why do you think, Sable, that something as specific as fragrance dupe culture is kind of becoming a thing again?
The thing... I think that, you know, all of these people who buy these really expensive beauty trend reports are rightfully seeing that fragrance is becoming a bigger market, and there's a lot more interest in it, and there's a lot of unexplored space to expand and capitalize on that because this is America.
Yeah.
And I think everybody's trying to put fragrance in the same lane as everything else that's like optimized and made for your convenience.
Sure.
But the thing with fragrance is that it's an experiential product, mm-hmm. and it's extremely subjective, and they're trying to make that process like via the convenience of our digital culture.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, honestly, it's like the way they're trying to put fragrance in that box is what kind of chafes me, you know, because there's that whole, it's the attitude of like, isn't fragrance dropping a pain? And I'm like, no, it's fun. It's a fun experiential thing you can do. Like, why should it be a pain? If you think it's a pain, maybe fragrance isn't for you.
I think this also speaks not only to like this dupe thing happening, but just like fragrance in 2021.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to be talking to a brand pretty soon here called Sniff that I'm also getting served ads for all the time.
Same.
That they are trying to simplify the fragrance experience. They're doing it all direct to consumer. I think the way that they do it is pretty smart, and honestly their scents are like pretty good and feel and smell pretty high quality.
Yeah.
But again, my question is like, how hard is it?
I feel like everyone's like, we can do for fragrance what Warby Parker did for trying on glasses. I think everybody's trying to perfect that model.
Yeah, I agree.
But it's obnoxious.
Yeah, it's certainly a choice.
Yeah.
Sniff, we're very excited to have you on. This is just in general.
I mean, glasses and fragrance are very different things.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just, like, I guess when I just see, when I see the veil of capitalism covering everything, I'm just like, okay. You know, like, some things are a little bit more wily and mysterious, and that's part of the attraction.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, like, just let it happen. Why do you have to wrangle it into something? It's for money.
God. I love it. Your first instinct is to like rightfully question it, and mine is just like to add to cart.
I mean, the bottles look cool. The branding looks cool on all these new brands. Yeah. I think it's just the attitude that I don't care for.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, okay, if Sniff or if Dossier just launched as a new fragrance brand and they're like, this is how we do fragrance, I'd be like, cool.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Like, you're approaching fragrance from a modern perspective, and you're creating scents that you think people today would like. Like, great. But the fact that it's like, we're better than what exists because we're new, I'm like, I mean, not saying they're saying that, but that's the impression I get. And I'm kind of just like, you're just new.
Yeah.
And that's fine. It's like when someone comes out of the gate with a chip on their shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, that's not, don't lead with the negatives.
Right.
Lead with your own unique strengths.
Yeah, that's real.
Yeah. And that's what annoys me, because they're like trying to come for perfume culture. And I'm like, it's not. Yeah. Okay.
You're still a part of it.
Yeah. You know? You're still a part of it. Yes, I understand. The fragrance world is and can be and is expensive, but like, making things cheap doesn't mean they're good, you know. I think that's the thing, because they also, I noticed that all of these new brands are, they're very upfront about how cheap it is, or rather how comparatively more affordable it is. And I'm like, that's not the point. Is your product good is the point.
Yeah,
that's because true. If you have a good product, then you can price it however you like, I suppose.
Yeah.
But yeah, the fact that they're like, and it's only $29. I'm like, what is this? An infomercial?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, I wonder about that. I just wonder about, like, who's the market? Are they assuming that everyone is aware of and familiar with the Tom Ford catalog or the Gucci Guilties or whatever it is? What about it? Are they like duping are they like trying to capitalize off of, you can get this scent for less, or you can get a piece of this brand for less? And okay, so like, I was going to float having a Dossier or an Alt or whatever the hell they're called on the show as a guest, and you know, while I suppose it's not out of the question, I don't see a way that it wouldn't sort of just go down this road of like, we make luxury accessible, and like, of course that's great, but it's also like, is that what you're doing? Like, I'm not here to like have you tell your own like Robin Hood story. Yeah. Of like, we take great things and make them for everyone. Like okay, sure, that's maybe one side of it, but also I don't know,
it's kind of like when you ask a question you already know the answer to,
exactly,
and you're still disappointed anyway.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know.
It makes me think of all of the lost mall store scents. Like, I remember Urban Outfitters used to have a lot of their own scents, mm-hmm. and they were really good. And they were kind of like, I mean, other than the fact that you can only find them at Urban Outfitters, they were kind of label-less. Like,
are they? They have a collection of scents that people really like right now too.
Yeah,
the chai ones.
Mm-hmm.
Did I tell you? I don't know what made me think of it, but I read that there were like that those specifically were like very carcinogenic or something. They had like something like terrible in them.
Oh, no.
And so I like told everyone that was the case for like a year and a half, because as many as I could, because like everyone I know has them. Like, girl, those are not clean. Oh, they will give you cancer. Turns out that's not true. They're like a pure formula. You know, I don't believe in clean, but like it's a clean formula. Yeah, there's nothing non-toxic, bad in them. And I was like, oh,
oops.
I've been running my mouth. Sorry. And now I have a podcast about fragrance. yeah, I know. I guess I just like want to be clear that like I don't give a shit about like protecting Tom Ford's financial stability. This is not about like the brands themselves. I think it's just like
the culture. What are you doing to the culture?
I just think like not even, I don't know. I'm just, it's odd to me that this like niche part of the fragrance space has become so forward in e-commerce, like in beauty. Because I feel like we're not the only ones getting served these ads all the goddamn time.
Oh, no, definitely not.
Someone responded with a great point that like they have no problem duping the expensive brands of the world, but they wouldn't do that to like an indie brand, which like that's fair.
That
I mean, like
fair.
That's level. Yeah. But also it's like, is anyone duping an indie brand, and like what constitutes indie? Like, is DS and Durga? Sure.
Yes, they're technically indie.
Yeah.
Byredo, one could argue they're not because they're owned by a larger company. Mm-hmm. But in the world of fragrance, like, mm-hmm. sure.
If I hear one more person be like, yeah, I used to like Byredo 5 years ago, but like now, like all my like snooty friends wear, or like all my uppity basic friends wear, I'm like,
judgy.
I'm like, no.
Who says that?
I've heard that so really? Many times in the last couple months.
Who do you hang out with?
I'm just like, that's just not true. Byredo is good.
Yeah.
Talk to your Lalabo friends. Don't talk to your Byredo friends. Jesus Christ.
Even Lalabo is good.
Agreed.
I just don't.
Not agree.
I just think it's kind of like they're all pretty similar to me. That's the thing. Like they're good, but to me, like they all are a bit of a mishmash of each other. Mm-hmm. They're like a weirdly ancestral fragrance brand, but yeah, no, Byredo's great. I could see like, I feel like that the silhouette of that bottle mm-hmm. is everywhere. It's like that cylindrical thing with
and
a little black
point,
dome.
The typeface.
Yes.
And like,
so many brands are copying the Byredo typeface and like the label.
Yeah.
So I could see people being like, ugh, I'm sick of that, because I feel like whenever anything becomes so ubiquitous like mm-hmm. that, it's just all over social media, and then it becomes quote unquote like that Instagram brand.
Yeah.
When they've been around for like way longer.
Right. They're fucking good. I don't care.
Yeah. They make great sense.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who else is there? Commodity. I feel like they were one of the first brands to successfully sell fragrance online.
Yes.
Like scent unsmelled.
Yep.
And I feel like all these newer brands are trying to sell scent online by comparing it to something that exists, hence duping.
Mm. That's real.
Yeah. And I don't like that method. I'm like, just send samples and then give them. Yeah. And then make the cost of the samples go towards a purchase of a full bottle. Like, it's pretty easy. What?
Yeah.
Maybe we're giving them business tips right now.
They're not listening.
They're not listening. No. Or they might listen, and then they'll send us an angry email. Sorry.
Yeah, we got a cease and desist. Again.
Okay. We're just getting kicked off all these press lists. No. I mean, what's the consensus here? What is...
Yeah.
It's an open discussion.
I mean, I know that all of our listeners think that I hate Centaur 33 and Glossier U, which is not true. So I hope that you guys don't walk away and think that like we are not down with dupe culture, because... I mean, I personally smoke them if you got them, girls, you know.
Yeah, but I also think like my personal take with dupes, specifically with fragrance, because fragrance, there's no functional miss with a dupe. Like skincare, there's a potential functional miss because you're not getting the same quality of ingredients, and color cosmetics, yeah, like also could be a functional miss because you know, maybe it doesn't last as long, maybe it doesn't wear as well, mm-hmm. but like the color's the same.
Yeah.
But like with fragrance, you're ostensibly getting the same functional product, but it's not the same scent. It's not the same yeah. wear. And part of me is like, just like, it's almost like eating like diet ice cream. I'm like, are you really ever satisfied after eating that?
Yeah.
Like some, and some people are like, some people really love like Halo Top or.
Oh God. Halo else? Top tastes like insulation.
Yeah. I don't like it. So like if I want ice cream, I'm just going to eat ice cream.
Yeah.
And to me, that's the same with fragrance. And I think luckily a lot of brands, like high-end brands realize this. So they make testers available or small travel sizes available or oil, like roll-on oils available, and they're all at a much lower price point.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
and really like how, like,
yeah,
you're gonna use that up.
Yeah,
feel good about what you bought.
Exactly. So you get the real thing, maybe in a smaller increment, but at least it's the real thing.
You know, I just like, to me it's like, you know what's cooler than wearing a knockoff of a fragrance that you think is cool is just like wearing something that you think is cool that is accessible to you, whatever that means, and that maybe no one's ever heard of.
Yeah.
Because I would so much rather, I don't know, have someone wear one of those non-toxic Urban Outfitters fragrances that everyone loves.
Wait, Urban? Oh, for some reason I thought you said Urban Decay. I was like, what?
Urban Decay, no. Urban Outfitters fragrances that yeah. everyone loves, and just be obsessed with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then, like,
They're nice her. Fragrances. They're and they're, what are they, like $40?
Oh, they're dumb cheap. They're
like $20?
Yeah, they're, yeah.
Yeah. It's great.
I don't know. I mean, like, wear what makes you happy. And if that's a dupe, yeah. that's fine. I just think, like, there's so much fragrance out there that yes. we don't need to, like, bow at the altar of these brands exactly. that are creating things that are prohibitive to us. If, like, they don't want us at their table, then, like, I have no interest in aspiring to that. If
we can't go to Grimaldi's, we can go to Sbarro.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's all pizza, baby.
It's all pizza, baby.
You know what? I think in the future we might revisit this. Maybe when we learn some more knowledge about dupes, but for now.
Oh my God, we should have someone from Oil Perfumery or Alt, but who has like been scorned.
An ex-employee.
Yeah.
Okay.
If let me get on fired LinkedIn.
From these brands.
Yeah. Let me get on LinkedIn, break out in hives, and then find someone who's like last job and who's not happy about it.
Yeah.
I'm with that.
A scorned employee.
If you or someone you know has been scorned by a fragrance dupe brand, please DM us.
Would love to.
We're going to leave you with that, but, you know it's next week. Valentine's Day.
The day of love.
Oh, I'm so excited. I'm not even going
to. It smells.
It's going to be great. I'm going to say anything about it because I'm just going to scream through the whole next episode. So I'm not going to start now. Also, we don't know what we're doing for it, but we're going to figure it out.
It's
going
to be you screaming for 49 minutes.
It is literally just going to be me. Kidding. I would never put you guys through that. Anyways, tell us what you think about dupes, literally, in our DMs. Yeah. It's always fun to hear from you guys.
The dupe discussion is ongoing.
Ongoing.
Yes.
Follow us on Instagram at smellyoulater.mp3. I'm at TynanBuck.
And I'm at SableToothTikra.
Until next time.
Smell you later.
Smell you later.